But now the program is on. It's on, so I would say it's all right. WineCellarMedia.com, William J. Jackson, Phoenix Kaliter, the Uppity Negress, Lisa Loco, White Splainer in Chief, Fallon Loco, FallonKitty.com. Right, go and support a writer. Now, as I go into this thing, of course, there may be a warning somewhat related to triggers, whatnot, what have you. Tend to just let Penny Loco take care of that, right? Because it sounds so much better when someone else gets into it. I think so. Especially when you can get the clip loaded.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right, and there you have it.
In Father Teresa's Wounds.
Now, let's see. So, as I was kind of wrapping up the show prep for the program, Phoenix Kaliter came across a link of Beanie Siegel, right? Bang Bang Siegel Street. And interacting with this feller, Charlemagne the deity on the Breakfast Club. And
didn't make his name, that's just what he is, or who he that's what he goes by.
He's some nigga with a radio job. Well, lastly, I mean, you know, it's not the easiest thing to get a radio job. He wears V-necks. Alright, so Beanie Siegel versus V-neck. Just check this audio out. Just to have a good time to open up the program. We got news, comment, whatnot, what have you, this, that, and the other. Bunch of Thugabaloo and Nigga Moreau.
I pulled Stone Cold Square. This ain't your feel, young. I got that. That's what.
Alright, so apparently Beanie Siegel thinks he's a Stone Cold Square. Alright, let's begin squaring off in a Stone Cold manner.
Now, I got that. That's what men do.
I'm just the type of phone like somebody I don't pretend to.
That's bullshit. You're a character. That's why.
That's the truth, though.
You're a character.
Life's too short to be wasting your time with suckers or people you think is suckers.
So why I'm here, then, I think you're a sucker. So I should be out, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, that's me personally. I wouldn't sit there and have a conversation with a sucker.
Yeah, you'll sit here and you'll bash a little girl, a little mom, until she cry. That's what you do.
Wait, Charlemagne made a little girl cry? Well, let's see.
Google it, you play it.
All right, you Google it, I play it. All right, so he said Beanie Siegel made a wee little youngin cry.
Coward.
We talk, me and you talking to each other now. I tell you, yeah. I think you're a hypocrite.
You can think what you want.
And I think you'd be coming off.
And I'm not going to front, yo. Maybe this is some classism thinking, maybe some anti-black. I got to wonder if Beanie Siegel knows the word hypocrite. I'm not going to front. I wonder. What is it?
He made little mama cry.
Lil Charlemagne the God makes Lil Mama cry. What for? Why?
I don't know, man.
Okay. I gotta wonder if he, or, you know, I mean, she could have had any, I mean, she's a black femme person, woman in America, on Earth. She may have been crying for any other reason, and he just fucking really egged her on that day. Like, anything could have happened to her that whole day or her whole life leading up to that moment. Yeah, just send me the audio and I'll play it on the program. All right, let's see it.
What you want, then?
And I think you'd be coming off as a hater sometime.
You can think what you want, then.
So now, what's next?
I think you're a bitch. You left Federal.
All right. He thinks he's a B word. Well, indeed. He might want to think that. Dadgummit. It always wants you to install Messenger. I don't want to install Messenger. All right. So let's just get the background on that. So what is that? Charlamagne makes Lil Mama. Oh, damn. Hello? 13 minutes.
Hello? Hello? I'm going to check the phone. You know, Lil Mama, you have a lot of confidence. And that's a good thing. But you have to actually.
A lot of confidence, but here we go.
You actually have to accomplish a lot more before you come off as cocky as
but
you
I
do.
Didn't come off as cocky. I come off as confident.
Wait, accomplish a lot more. Every single rapper, that's a big part of it, is the bravado.
And I believe in God. I'm a high believer in God. And I know who I am. And I'm not going to come up to a radio station or anywhere else and let anybody strip me of my pride. I know who I am. So when you talk about cocky, there's so many people that's out here that's cocky that haven't done anything.
But they've accomplished it. Like who? I don't really see it.
There's
everybody before they accomplish anything. What up?
I gotta wonder, does he legitimately think that she's cocky, or does he just not like black women saying things and doing things?
Yeah, or that, like, or,
you know, if Lil Mama was a dude, would he still be cocky?
Or like the hip hop nuance of it, is he just like that with anybody after 1999? Because I could see that, like any of these like newer rappers after the 90s, it's like, what have you done? But like, well, let's see. I don't know her body of work. I actually don't know if she's nice. Like, can she actually rhyme? I don't know that. Let's see.
So people many cocky people that's cocky that haven't done anything
name
yet.
Name some names.
You name some names.
Like, the reality show stars do come off as cocky, but they don't do nothing either.
See?
But you're an actual musician. You actually have, I guess, some type of talent. Like, you did have a little buzz going at one
definitely
point.
Definitely have talent. And
but what have you done lately, though? This is a what have you done for me now type of industry.
What have you done lately, Charlamagne?
Well, you know, I'm the host. No, let me explain. Let me tell her what I've done. Okay. I'm the host of one of the top rated morning shows in the country.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you got a job. So someone else gave you a job. Like, it's not like you have an album out. It's not like Charlamagne kicks verses. What the fuck are you talking about?
Wait, this nigga ain't had an album since 2008.
Who?
Charlamagne.
Oh, he actually rapped?
Apparently, in 2008, he released an album.
Damn, I never heard of it.
Which is awkward, because you kind of into that whole hip-hop thing.
Well, and even at that time, I still was. So it's like, I can't even say he fell off. He was never on.
I just signed a deal with MTV, too.
That's good.
Me and my guy, Lil Duval, just did a pilot for a television show. So, you know, I'm doing my thing.
All right, so you did a pilot. That's not success. A pilot is an application.
I'm looking at his filmography, too. It's not that impressive. It's a lot of, you know, outside of hosting the radio show, it's a lot of, like, 1, 2, 3 episodes walk-on roles on a series, but like one episode on something that spans 6 series is not that impressive, like, honestly.
Yeah, how come all niggas know you for is the Breakfast Club, which would still rock without you?
Proud of you.
Thank you.
You know that.
You know? And if your face was the Bible, it would be the Old Testament.
You play too much, I swear. Yeah, little mama, do you
know? Why he dissing her face? Okay.
Like, do you feel like though that you have
features, despite the fact she's light skinned, and that's always been a thing for her? People always want to talk about she's ugly because her face looks too African for being so light skinned.
So
like everybody now is talking about like Alicia Keys, because Alicia Keys is doing this like alleged no makeup trend, and everybody's like really embracing Alicia Keys for it. But Alicia Keys has more Eurocentric features, but Lil Mama's really light skinned too. And before Alicia Keys did it, Lil Mama posted selfies without makeup, like all going natural, and she got so much hate on social media, and you know, nigger this, nigger that, and you know, nose too wide and lips too big and all this and that, because people think like she should have more Eurocentric features because she has light eyes and light skin.
It's hard to follow popular culture.
You have to be defensive a lot and explain yourself to people a lot.
Not really. I mean, people would try to set it up to where it would be that way, but I know I don't have to, so no. You know what I mean? Not at all. You just have to put that work in and let your work speak for itself, like Charlamagne is saying, which I totally understand.
Hello? And I'm not saying it's the dish.
Hold on a second, Charlamagne. Who's this?
Hello, this is Mitch from Flatbush.
Mitch from Flatbush. You want to holler at Little Mama?
Okay, Mitch from Flatbush for some reason. And they totally cut him off for Mitch for Flatbush. They didn't announce like, hey, we got a caller. No, just put him in. All right, Mr. Hat Sideways. I think wearing his hat sideways. 1991 ass nigga.
What's up, Little Mama?
Yo, what up, mate?
Yo, it's good, man. You need to come back, man.
Already.
Yeah, man. You was dope. I don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? But my personal opinion, I just feel you just need to come back with that same heat.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, homie. Hello, who's this?
Yo, Moriega, what's up?
Moriega?
Yeah.
Moriega of Twitter.
Okay, Moriega, I'll have Lil Mama.
What's up, Mom?
Yo, what up?
Chilling. I just saw the tweet, and I called the number. You know how that iPhone works, so y'all got to tell me what's going on, though.
I said you...
Oh, man. All right, well, get to the crying part. This is a 13-minute clip.
On Jay,
you got two people with you. You got two people here with you. Do they have any of your music? And you got a radio station. Oh, okay.
Right. So now what? Okay. Yo, we about to throw him. We about to tie him up with a rope.
You ain't tying nothing up.
We about to put a
up. Not at this present time.
When the last time I put out a record?
You just said you got some.
I'm saying is that my music will speak for itself.
All right, Little Mama.
Oh, gunshot. Music, Little Mama. That's.
She was raw. She was real. She was official. So, she loved music, and I love music.
R. Kelly peed on a little girl.
Right.
Rick Ross is a cop.
Okay, I'm just skipping around trying to find the crying part. I don't see it.
For the fans, it's been a long time, so instead of asking for, you know, my fans to support me in that way, I'd rather give music first.
Now, where's the song with you and Snoop at?
New York, LA, everywhere.
Okay. Now, is that on your album? Is his album?
It's just a record that we released for the fans. It's viral, radio.
Wait, New York, LA. Like, let's see if, because I don't know if she could rhyme. New York. Oh, here we go. Little Mama and Snoop Dogg. All right, let's see if it's nice. Okay, I already dislike it, but let's see if the rhymes are. Yeah, her style is too boring. Like, even if she was nice, that style is boring as shit. And she should have told that engineer, mix my voice louder. Like, her voice is way too low.
I'm trying to read articles about it. Apparently her mother had just died, and he said something that upset her about her mother, I guess.
He seems like type of buster that would do that.
Oh, if it was your focus, maybe you would be out there promoting. Listen, okay. I've taken a step away from music already. I'm getting back into the music now.
Okay, so
my
that's
music
the plan.
Speak for itself. I'm not here to say what I'm gonna do. When I was 17 years old, I put out an album while my mother was dying of cancer. That right there alone is a struggle. That's hard.
Right.
That's tough for anybody. But.
Oh, so Charlamagne didn't make her cry. Family trauma made her cry, but a man got credit because for some reason that's cool to do. All right. So, winecellarmedia.com, get this gosh darn thing open. going into 15 minutes in. Glorious Mess tuned in. Guest Trey719. We've got no tag list going up on this one because it's a rough week. Phoenix Kaleeter found herself sick at the end of the weekend, right? At the end of the weekend, yeah, found yourself sick. And so It's not running the same. Like, she's really, really sick. It's very bad. And I think Rashani Loco just hit me up. Let's see what Shani Loco has to say, and then jump into a news story. Where'd he go? Okay, Rashani Loco has a new episode of Single Simulcast up. I have that in a playlist so I could bang it tomorrow after work. Because I can't, in the warehouse, until I get, like, some Bluetooth headphones that look like earplugs, that are, like, orangey, so they look like the warehouse earplugs, I can't listen to programs at work yet. But I definitely will, because that'll make the day shoot by, right? You listen to, what, like, 4 2-hour shows, and that's the shift.
I'm not really dedicated to podcasts like that.
Except you've been on one for 2.5 years. All right.
No.
No. No, you're talking on one right now.
No, I'm not.
The podcast led to you starting your own Facebook page. Part of a website.
No, I'm not.
A Patreon. No, a PayPal.me.
That had never happened.
All right. Words of wisdom from Phoenix Kalita. That had never happened. All right. And check out on the Facebooks K9 to 5 Town. K9 to 5. Ooh. And I just got that. K9 to 5. Because it's that's Tequila Rivera's business. A pet babysitting. And that's a black woman-owned business, K9 to 5, in Lakewood, Washington State. Go and spend money with a black woman if you are local to her. All right? And he's talking about black-owned businesses. There's one right there. Go spend money with it. Or are you going to go to Bark Avenue that's owned by some white folks somewhere, right?
Probably hipsters.
Yeah. So let's see how down you really are. I mean, black lives mattering, well, we live in capitalism, niggas need money, so black lives matter, go spend money with that black woman, Tequila Rivera.
Plus, she's a single mom, I went there.
Word up. Yep, single mother, and she's a teacher, she's a motherfracking educator, and being a black teacher, I'm quite sure that she's not like like the white women teachers that are sending black kids into the school-to-prison pipeline. Go white feminism.
Hillary's gonna fix it.
And what we have coming up in this motherfunker is so I got a clown on this, right? So I don't know if you knew this, but black feminists are a cyber mafia. That's a thing going on. We're gonna get to that right after the first break with the LGBT news update. This one, what is this deal? So a lawyer's argument was that an accused rapist is too fat and his penis is too small to commit the crimes. Okay, we'll find out why Denzel Washington refuses to kiss white women in movies. And folks in Haiti are urging people not to donate to the Red Cross. Hillary Clinton privately pitched to corporations a very low tax rate. Surprise, surprise, I bet you are. I am too. I had no idea that Hillary Clinton, who sat on the board of Walmart, would favor corporations. Police in California and Texas failed to report 660 officer-involved deaths. Murder, nigga. And a white woman, go white feminism, a Maryland teacher again, really, under fire for using students in racist Instagram posts. Right. So let's go right on over here. The fuck is this? What the fuck is this shit right here?
Some bullshit.
It may very well be. So, lawyers talking legal stuff, right? So, this rapist is on trial in Canada, and the attorney is the attorney's nickname is Pork Chop. Wait a second. Now the criminal's name is Pork Chop, and how do you put it? What is that? Some French name? Jacques?
Yeah, Jacques.
Fucking Jack. So And Jack Rouse Chop. What else?
I think Jack is actually John.
John?
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Sex workers and Jacques. Fucking kick him right in the Jacques strap. This fucking guy is, oh, and ironically, here we go. He's accused of choking and raping two sex workers. Bet if sex workers had rights, they could have had an easier time getting this thing up and running to trial. Because this happened in 2013.
Huh.
Now, his lawyer argued last week that he couldn't have raped the women.
Okay.
Okay.
Even if he tried. Because he has a hernia, and because measurements aren't in his favor. He says his hernia makes it too painful to have sex from behind. His stomach is too large, and his penis is way, way too small. And his attorney, Natasha Calvinho, said.
Wow.
So, and then she passed around nude photos of him for the six men and six women on the jury to view.
Oh my god. So can I just point out that there's always the assumption rape means penis and vagina, but that's not necessarily the only thing rape can be. You can penetrate somebody with fingers, or you can penetrate someone with a foreign object. It does not have to be necessarily penis and vagina, which again is part of rape culture, right? You know, minimizing sexual violence. So... there is that.
Yeah, like Dresta, not the same guy as Dr. Dre from Compton. Like, he did Foreign Object. It was one of those little miniature baseball bats. And now, so she passed out the photos. And according to a nurse who testified at the trial, he stands at 5'6" and weighs so much that he exceeded the scales at a jail, which go up to 320 pounds. His waist is 66 inches, but his penis is only 1 inch, and 2 inches when erect, the nurse said. And, they have a picture of him, breaking Ottawa News, Ottawa Daily News on Twitter. And his lawyer argued that the defendant turned to sex workers to fulfill his needs, but didn't abuse him. They're not needs.
Okay, but wait, hold up, though. If he can't maintain an erection long enough to rape somebody, how does he have consensual intercourse with sex workers? The fuck he finding sex workers for?
You should get a law degree.
You got like $100,000 for law school?
Yeah. Nah, just go into debt. Hillary will fix it.
Nigga, I am in debt already.
By the time you're done with school, Hillary will have fixed it. You're a woman, therefore she's on your side. All women across the planet have always benefited from everything Hillary has done. Bring back our girls. Quote, due to his weight and his appearance, he will be the first to tell you that he has had a lot of trouble attracting members of the opposite sex.
Or,
it's
because he's a rapist. I know fat dudes who aren't single.
Huh. Yeah. And that getting a woman's attention, let alone having sex, was not something that happened very often for him. End quote from the lawyer, Calvino. Now, one of the sex workers testified in September that he abruptly flipped her over, put her in a chokehold, and yelled, "Who's in charge?" After paying her for oral sex in his car. She remembered feeling crushed under his weight and having trouble breathing, but said she could not recall the size of his penis. He pled not guilty. He has a criminal history. His hefty criminal history stretches through at least 2 decades, and he is already a convicted sex offender.
Oh!
Surprise, huh. Fucking surprise.
You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the wine cellar.
What?
But there's this thing that we say.
No.
That, most rapists.
Nah.
Are serial rapists.
We've never said that.
Are you sure?
We've never said that.
Are you sure?
Ever. All we do is quote Ron Paul. And... and debate macaroni and cheese versus Velveeta. The Porkchop was charged after police investigated him in relation to the unsolved 2013 murder of a sex worker. Get the fuck out of here. Kill this motherfucker, man. Just fucking kill. What did you do?
I clicked the hyperlink to what his other crime history was, because I'm just curious now.
So a bloody Ottawa jailhouse beating came after an insult to the mother of inmate nicknamed Porkchop. Will you?
Sorry.
So don't insult his mother. And that was the lesson that Ottawa Carlton Detention Center inmate James Billings learned the hard way after Porkchop, a career criminal.
Can I just point something out? In the other article about him raping sex workers, it was like, well, maybe, but you know, his penis size and his height and blah. Here, because it doesn't involve sex workers, career criminal, Porkchop. What the fuck?
And he just beats the shit out of people. So he's physically fit enough to beat the fuck out of someone, but not to flip somebody over and rape them.
Sure, seems legit. And this story is from last year, so... Right?
Well, it looks like he...
Yeah, 2015, so alright.
Oh, and on this one, he didn't tip the scales, the jailhouse scales. They got him at 350 pounds. And, and his nickname here was Big Jack on the street. See, I told you, it's Jack, not John. Jock is Jack. Juan is John.
I think it's John because that Fuera Jaca song is Brother John, Are You Sleeping? You know that Fuera Jaca, Fuera Jaca? Yeah. It's Brother John, not Brother Jack.
His middle name is John.
His name is Jack John.
Oh!
That's what you want to go with.
Yeah, his name is Jack John.
Jacques John?
Jack John, Jack off. All right. And on the, so Big Jack on the street and Pork Chop in jail. So basically, this is a gangster. Really, like, he's a thug-ass motherfucker. And really, according to what white people say, you know, thugs, you gotta put them down sometimes. So, take him out. You know, flex that Second Amendment. Blast on this fool. Yeah, fuck this fucking guy. Fuck this fucking guy. Shoot him in the fucking face. And, hey, maybe we ought to gun it in with some sex workers' rights. Well, Hillary's gonna fix that.
I mean...
I'm gonna be saying that for the next 8 years.
Did I tell you that? Okay, so I had an interesting Facebook today, which is extra fascinating because I was hardly on all day because I was sick and sleeping. But I inadvertently broke up like a family relationship on Facebook over a sex workers' rights post. I really didn't mean to do that, but I did. And now there's a bunch of people that blocked each other on Facebook, and I feel kind of bad about it.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted to do. They were looking. They were like, we gotta break that.
Well, it was one of those sex worker rescue things. Where like, it was asked Ashton Kutcher, and he's like, we're rescuing sex workers, or no, we're rescuing traffic victims. But in his organization's actual, you know, things like that, it literally conflates sex work and human trafficking. And I was like, but those aren't the same thing, and you can't really help traffic victims if you treat them like sex workers, and you can't help sex workers if you treat them like traffic victims. And then a bunch of people got mad at me, and somebody blocked their cousin and their mother and their sister on Facebook, and I feel sad.
Oh, well, Thanksgiving's coming up. They'll meet back up. They'll be okay, because their family matters more than sex workers' rights. I guarantee you, in the end.
Maybe. I mean... I'm not going to drop names, but one of the people involved is a low-key sex worker, and their family doesn't know.
Oh.
So,
Jesus maybe. Christ. Yeah, well, that was very close to dropping. Jesus Christ.
They do not listen to the podcast.
Oh.
Nor does anyone I know. I only have two mutuals with them, not podcast listeners.
Okay, kind of like white supremacist Huxley Morgan. Like, she doesn't the pro. Well, she is a white supremacist.
She follows me on Twitter. She retweets things I say. I'm hoping she's listening.
Oh, she's not. No, that's just for the visual image of listening to Black. It's like when Hillary Clinton parades around the mothers of dead super predators and calls them mothers of the movement. That's what Huxley Morgan's doing with you. You're just a mother of the movement to her. You're basically a black face that she gets to put on her minstrel show. It's okay.
See, y'all don't even understand the look he just gave me in that whack-ass shoulder pat. He just gave me even no. That was the wackest shoulder pat ever.
Throughout the years, Denzel Washington was often questioned about why he never kissed white women in any of his films. And eventually, the real reason came out. He's been known to turn down scenes that required him to kiss Julia Roberts and other white female co-stars in the past, accepting scenes that called for him to kiss African-American co-stars. Denzel had his reasons for stepping away from on-screen kisses with his sisters from another mister. Okay? I don't like... Whoever wrote this, you're kind of corny. All right?
I'm trying to make it sound incestual, though.
Yeah, just tacky. Now, Phoenix Kalita just said something very far away from the microphone. So see what he revealed about this below. It had been 20 years in 1992 since Malcolm X, since Denzel, a white woman on screen, until more recently in the 2012 movie Flight. He had his reason for not doing so, and it had nothing to do with him disliking white women or anything like that. But it apparently... I don't like that they have to add that disclaimer.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't like that disclaimer at all.
Yeah, fucking... I say leave that... If anyone ever has to say this about me for any reason, leave out that disclaimer, and I want people to scream reversed racist. Yeah, because, I mean, let those people show themselves. Like, you just took away their opportunity to show us who they are. Mm. All right, he had his reason for not doing so. It had nothing to do with him disliking white women or anything like that. But it apparently had a lot to do with his respect for black women and his disapproval for black actresses were all too often not seen as the object of affection when it came to major motion pictures. So he want to feed into that stereotype. Denzel Washington once turned down a love scene with Julia Roberts out of his loyalty to his female African-American fans. Allison Samuels reveals in her new book, Off the Record, Amistad, Washington nixed the steamy segment, even though Roberts insisted he be cast as her co-star in The Pelican Brief. Denzel Washington explained, quote, "Black women are not often seen as objects of desire on film, and they have always been my core audience," end quote. And this is a quote from Julia Roberts. I know that name. I don't put a face to it. Who cares?
She was in Erin Brockovich, Stepmom.
She was in Becky Lives Matter. "Don't I have a pulse? Of course I wanted to kiss Denzel. It was his idea to take the damn scenes out," end quote.
Now, I like the fact that they say that quote from her, but then the next is a scene of his face.
Yeah,
look at his face.
Yeah, it's if you do see this this image, actually you can find it. It's I have it linked on my page on the Facebooks. And, the face he's making is, it's that sort of what-the-fuck level bewilderment. Yeah, that face, where you're kind of touching your earlobe, like, what? All right, quote, "Black or white seems to be a cutoff for women. Don't have a couple of kids, you're out the door. They're constantly looking for the younger one, African-American women of color, it's doubly hard. And then for dark-skinned African-American women, it's even more difficult," end quote from, Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, before, acting, he was a garbage man in New York. Yeah, so he was, just always a, just a working cat. Just a working cat. And I know I heard that it was on some talk show, and and the talk show host was another dude, I think a Mexican dude, and he was like, "Wait, so you were a garbage man? So women in the neighborhood probably up at 5 a.m. like, damn, it's a fine ass garbage man."
Probably.
And so to sum it up, Denzel didn't kiss women in his movies because he refused to disrespect his core fans by playing into Hollywood's one-sided view of beauty. And he empathizes with actresses of all color because, again, he doesn't agree with Hollywood's unfair double standards regarding beauty and marketability. One person who isn't worried about him kissing black women, white women, or any other women for that matter, is his wife of 33 years, Pauletta.
How do they have the nerve to be married for 33 years and she fucking looks 33?
Man.
She doesn't look 33. You don't understand black aging. She looks a healthy black 49.
She does not look 49.
A black 49.
She does not look like a black 49.
You see,
49.
You're going by white standards. Decolonize your pupils, nigga. And look at the blackness. That's a hell black 49.
Is there like a yada cleanse I can get to decolonize my pupils? Is that a thing?
Yeah, cleanse yourself of yada. and you'll do better. Yeah, she does. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how old she is, but she looks 49.
She does not.
Yes, she does. You're gonna Google it. She's gonna Google her age. This a quote from Pauletta on the Wendy Williams program. She said, "I'm secure as to who Pauletta is. My mother raised me in a way to know who I am, and actually, he married me for who I am." And in another mag, she said, He has stability in me as a wife. That's what gives him strength, regardless if he misuses it. I can't dwell on that, but I do know that gives him a great platform to go and fly. And, boop, boop, boop. Another one, whoa, it says, see, she's 62.
62, and you said she looked 49.
And you said 33.
Because she does fucking look like she's in her 30s.
Well, in this one, she looks like she's in her early or mid-50s in that picture.
Maybe.
Like, yeah, but I mean, also, she's, I mean, yeah. Isn't she married? She's married to a millionaire, so she
66.
Can...
66.
Yeah, so she can probably afford a hell lifestyle than what we can.
Yeah, she was born in 1950.
And that's another thing about the whole, you know, black aging, is that we should also know that black rich people are all age even more gracefully, if you will.
Yeah, haven't you seen Cicely Tyson?
I don't know who these people are. I don't want to know who she is. I don't know who these people are. We got to go to the LGBT
yes
news update something or other, right? And I've been following the LGBT news update like ever since I learned what podcasts were. Like, I started out like just getting into like atheist and black shows like Scotty Reed and Cognitive Dissonance and the one where I forgot the name of it, man. But it's from the American Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's their program, and that was where I first heard Annalise Fonzer. And then I ended up doing my first program, having a little chitty chat with her about the whatnot and the what have you.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. I'm Shane Luke in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Thursday, October 13th, 2016. First up, Big Gay News from Australia. Gay marriage in Australia unlikely for years after public vote plan rejected. CNN reports that Australia's parliament is almost certain to vote down a national referendum on same-sex marriage, potentially delaying marriage equality in the country for years. The left-wing Labour Party, which actually supports same-sex marriage, rejected backing the government's planned national vote. Supporters of marriage equality have instead promoted immediate passage of same-sex marriage by parliament, a move that is strongly rejected by government conservatives, who say that the public needs to be able to have a say on such an important social issue. Andrew Barr, an openly gay Labour politician serving as Australian Capital Territory Chief Minister, supports rejecting the vote, saying, quote, "No other human rights issue is put to a national vote in Australia." Next up, Anderson Cooper made history at presidential debate as first openly gay moderator. Gay Star News reports that the CNN anchor became the first openly gay journalist to moderate a debate between Democratic and Republican candidates. The choice of Cooper, who shared the duty of moderating the presidential debate with ABC News' Martha Raddatz, was criticized by Trump, who said that he did not think that Cooper would treat him fairly. However, both Cooper and Raddatz have been praised by observers for keeping the pace of the debate moving along more smoothly than the first presidential debate or last week's vice presidential debate. Next up, Art, Sex, and Pride, The Secret Gay History of New York. The Daily Beast reports that Gay Gotham at the Museum of the City of New York includes the work of the well-known, like Warhol and Mapplethorpe, alongside others to show how LGBT artists in the city helped change culture forever. The exhibition contains multitudes of images of the gay scene of New York City before the days of Grindr, when cruising the street for men was the norm, and when the gay bars were more secretive and difficult to find if one was not in the know. Art, literature, music, photography, and dance that spans from the 1910s to the mid-1990s are spread over two galleries and contain works by artists that are both famous and anonymous, of all ages, races, and gender identities to create a cohesive whole which brings the gay scene of years past back to brilliant life, a culture which pushed the envelope to bring modern gay culture into more of the mainstream. For our last story, anti-gay sentiment seen threatening Indonesia's goal to end AIDS by 2030. Reuters reports that growing anti-gay sentiment in Indonesia could hamper efforts to combat fast-rising HIV infections among one of the most at-risk groups, threatening the country's target to end an AIDS epidemic by 2030. Indonesia has seen a rapid rise in the disease being reported by men who have sex with men in the past 10 years, with the group UNAIDS putting the estimate of nearly 700,000 people living with HIV in the Southeast Asian nation. There is fear that, with the increasing hostility toward the LGBT community by both religious and government leaders, the disease transmission will only continue to increase, and the government's attempts to end the epidemic will not be reached by the target date of 2030. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Raines for compiling the stories. I'm Shane Luke in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
This show is fucked up. This live broadcast and archive chat room is being hosted by the good folks at Americans United Again.
All right.
Revolutions are up.
That wasn't supposed to happen yet. Not time for that yet, dadgummit. And and folks may notice, I share a lot less Jim Hightower, because Jim Hightower does not post as much is one reason. And the other reason is, I for the most part, don't share anything that's talking about Donald Trump. I don't care, because Donald Trump's not going to be president. Mm-hmm. Like, I critique the president, which means Barry Hussein and Hillary Clinton. All right? Donald Trump is just some silly sideshow. It's not going to happen. There will be no President Trump. It's been over.
Well, and I think that it's always important to discuss, like, with this election cycle, everybody's freaking out, like, Trump is a Nazi, an apocalypse. You know, they're so focused on making sure Trump doesn't get in office, there's no conversation about, okay, so now we have Hillary, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Because Hillary is still about corporatism and capitalism and racism and not really for gender equality, not really solid on LGBTQIA rights, but, you know, hey, at least it's not Trump, which I'm sure will be a fantastic consolation prize to all my friends who die because of, like, the shit that's going on with Backpage and drug overdoses and lack of access to mental health care and poverty in general, and, you know, but hey, it would have been worse if you died when Trump was in office.
Yeah, like, it's like the partisanship got you. Like, you been had, hoodwinked, run amok.
Bamboozled.
Oh, man. We didn't land on partisanship. Partisanship landed on us. Knacker. All right. But Phoenix Khalid looks at me like a Jew.
I prefer to think that was a look of healthy skepticism, but if that's a Jewish look, I'll take it.
Healthy skepticism stepping on me like Jimmy Choo's. Nigga. All right. So there's this person on the, you know, the medium.com. You can get on there, you can blog it up, you can post it up, you can do what you gotta do. And, this person's name is Fee, F-E-E, Fee, on the medium.com. And, well, let's just dig into her piece. Let's have ourselves a grand old time. So the name of her piece is Birth of a Nation's Box Office Flop and the Unrepentant Pettiness of Black Feminists.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
You will take this serious.
You can't really make me.
Ma'am.
No.
Let's dig into it. She says, I've decided to write this because I felt that it was much more conducive to do than a social media rant. It's Sunday, October 9th, 2016 at 7:02 p.m. And I just want to start this by saying that...
Nobody cares what time it is.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. 7:02, ma'am. 7:02. Okay? Okay.
I mean, really?
Now, at this point, I'm over social media and I'm over the cyber mafia known as black feminism.
I mean, look, clearly I belong to the pimp lobby. I am in now the cyber mafia of black feminism. Why is nobody fucking paying me money for these illicit shadow organizations I belong to? I'm in a pimp lobby and a cyber mafia. The fuck is my paycheck?
It's cyber mafia. Like, do we at least get to, like, I don't know, get somebody some concrete shoes or something over here? All right.
I mean, can we at least hack a bank account? Like, can we hack the RNC's money? Like, is that a thing? Can we do that? Seems mafia-esque. Cyber.
I'll fucking throw Timothy Bradford off a cliff. Let's see. Oh, what? He's a fucking rapist.
We could do that, too.
She continues, I'm to the point where if I even see another black woman with feminist in her bio, I assume that she's petty and I should not associate with her publicly or privately. If you haven't seen or read the news already, Birth of a Nation has flopped in the box office and we have black feminism, which is just as
Whoa. Tariq Nasheed said it didn't flop. You heard him. And she should trust Tariq Nasheed. She seems like the person who would trust Tariq Nasheed. He said it didn't flop.
You know what? His episode just came out, and she posted this Sunday, 7:02.
She should probably revise that and wait until the man tells her what to say about it. That would be the best
option. I should link her to that and see if she actually does it. Like, that... Is that gaslighting or is that just seeing if we're right?
Apparently black men are petty too.
I just want to know. I probably am. I don't mean like colloquially. Like I probably am actually like fucking like kind of petty. Like, you know, in old use of the word. All right, let's see. So she continues. So it fell to the box office, and we have black feminism, which is just fancy cyber vernacular for, quote, I hate black men because I always choose the wrong types of black men to entertain, end quote, and their male minions to thank.
You're a minion.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't been kicked out of groups. Oh man, I'm not on a bunch of block lists. She continues. This is pretty unfortunate to say, as a woman, especially in the world we live in, where there is much negative stigma attached to being a black woman and being a black woman myself. What was that whole paragraph? Was just she cut that whole part out? That was the unnecessary starch in the
dinner. You're only saying that because you're a minion. If you were truly woke and not a black feminist, you would understand things.
If I really was this minion, I would have said, ah, a black woman wrote that sentence, therefore it's genius. But I mean, on the real, I'd be like, yo, fuck petty bourgeois niggas like Imani Gandhi. Mm-hmm. All right, yo, fuck petty bourgeois fake ass corporate niggas like Joy Reid on MSNBC. Mm-hmm. And then while everybody talking about Melissa Harris Perry went fucking hard with the way she quit, wasn't she the one crying for forgiveness from Mitt Romney on her show? Please, Miss a White Man, forgive me so I could keep this here job.
Can we also get a fuck Mickey Kendall in there?
And Mickey Kendall's a buster ass black man. Fuck them niggas, man. Fuck buster ass niggas. And that's the thing about me is I just don't like mark ass niggas. I'm a 1400 block Southside Tacktown nigga, and I don't like busters. And busters is gender fluid. Anybody could be a mark ass buster, nigga. All right. She continues. It's professional.
And serious. This is how tangents happen on our show.
Shit. When I first was introduced to black feminism as a teenager and through social media, I was expecting sisterhood. I'm not sure what kind, but that, so you didn't know.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I mean, when I
like, that's literally so ridiculous. I'm having a hard time forming a response to it. I was expecting a thing, but I don't know what I was expecting, and I'm upset because it didn't meet the expectations that I didn't have properly thought and planned out.
Yeah, so you just walked in the hamburger restaurant and said, give me one of the burgers that's on the menu. And then when you got it, you said, I didn't want lettuce, tomato, and mustard on mine.
No, actually what she did was walked in a burger place and said, I want a taco. And said, but why can't I have a taco?
Oh, like how she
I had expectations.
Now she says she didn't know what to expect. So she just assumed that maybe this burger place has Brussels sprouts. Maybe.
Oh, all right.
So I'm expecting sisterhood. I'm not sure what kind, but that's what I was expecting. To my disappointment, black feminism, in bold end quotes, was mostly a degree-toting, pun intended, shea butter product selling, cis hetero black men loathing, gay black man loving, promiscuity endorsing, white man dating, shade throwing, mention mobbing mafia that occasionally makes great points concerning the mistreatment and overall conditions of black women that they refer to as misogynoir. That's all one sentence.
I actually am bothered by the fact that she has toting in quotes and then in parentheses behind it, pun intended, because usually that's like a weapon toting, gun toting, knife toting. Like, are you low-key suggesting that black women are inherently violent? That's kind of an asshole move, yo.
It's also just weird that, like, so you say they're mostly degree toting, but then pun intended, so... Is she saying that you have to have a degree to be relevant, but then if you do have a degree, don't tell people you have one? Or you're being rude about it?
I don't know. I didn't even read toting as attached to degree, because toting is in quotes and degree is not. So, like, toting just makes me think of weapons, like gun toting. Because she called it, like, mafia shit, right? Isn't that what the mafia does? Like, they have the fucking, you know, they're toting guns. They got their fucking Tommy guns during Prohibition and shit. That's what the fucking mafia does, right?
As a minion, I'm going to have to demand you to take her sentence serious. It made sense.
That's not how this works.
It was coherent. Cohesive.
It was not cohesive.
Cooperative.
Absolutely not. That was divisive,
sir. I co-sign.
You're not allowed to co-sign things. You're a minion.
Oh, we're not on video.
If I just
tap your face and raise my eyebrows, nobody cares. All right. She continues. If I had not witnessed this for years prior, I just may have been on the Nate Parker hate bandwagon. But I did, so I'm not, and no, this is not saying he's not guilty. Anyhow, let's rewind time back to when this drama kicked off. I remember in early August of this year, scrolling down my Facebook feed and seeing my clickbait-style viral articles about Nate Parker having a white wife from a black-catered gossip bloggers and sites.
Wait, hold up.
What, ma'am?
So she intentionally scrolls for clickbait? What the fuck? Why?
Why? Because she's above it. So she has to scroll down to it from her position above it so she can get on that level and then come back above it and post about it, ma'am.
That is some Hotep shit right there.
That's right. Okay. And Phoenix Kalita goes back to the kitchen to get more tea. Drinking tea, I think. Does that help with your cough?
Yes.
It helps with her cough, she said yes from the kitchen. Let's see. She continues. She has a side note. Side note. If we are to celebrate any heterosexual black man's success on social media, he must be CB4 Blackety Black. But not so much that he's considered Hotep. He must also be married to a black woman, even if you've posted on social media about getting a Caucasian John when Jerome doesn't work out to avoid stress, poverty, and headache. He must also be a simp, a male feminist in proud support of black transgendered women in encouraged prostitution, now formally known as sex work, and move to the beat of the perverse black feminist drum.
Okay, but I just want to know, when, Jesse Williams gave that speech, did she think it was some simp shit, or no?
Man, she was probably on that he light-skinned shit. He a yellow fella.
yellow fellas and golden girls, I told you.
All right, she continues. Examples of the articles aforementioned. Article number one, Twitter just found out Nate Parker has a white wife, now questioning his wokeness, originally published by Bossip. So why are you clicking on Bossip? Who cares? And article highlights Nate Parker gained a gazillion. I just want to see what her opinion on it is. But now that Twitter finding out he has a white wife, he is losing those points. Another article with mixed Twitter reactions, and some people posting saying they don't support him for being a rapist. So I mean, wait, I got to get back to her. Okay, so back to her opinions on it. In this piece from Fee, F-E-E, on Medium.com, she said, fast forward. After a slew of gossip sites published this information about his wife being white, about 10 days later, the cyber attack then moved up to the Black Feminist Academia, who write for mainstream media publications such as The Atlantic, Teen Vogue, HuffPost, Time, That's just a bunch of Democrats who've begged for inclusion, by the way, and other. No, that's. I don't know who she's saying who begged who, but those white publications just want black faces so they can get black clicks.
Like, I just am amused by the fact she's calling it a cyber attack. Like, this isn't fucking anonymous. Like, no one's fucking hacking into the CIA. You know, this isn't fucking leaked Hillary emails. This is some black feminists that don't want to watch this dude's movie. Like, it's not that serious, yeah?
Yeah, and it's really not that many people, but, I mean, so she's stuck in the echo chamber of what she disagrees with. Mm. Get out of all the echo chambers, fuckface. All right, continuing, side note.
That was not a very good minion thing to say.
What, fuckface?
Yeah, I can't call her a fuckface or a minion.
Are you sure?
She said it. You gonna disagree with her?
Man, no. Fuck face. That F-U-C-K. It's fine, unadulterated, cute, kind face. Okay.
No, we just call you ho because it's short for honey.
Who the fuck said that? Someone said that? That's awesome.
Like a movie.
Motherfuckers be tripping. Alright, side note. This is what bored black women on the internet who don't like you do, by the way. They can find your address, who your baby father's great-great-grandfather is, and what plantation he was on, validate your college degrees, find out how many evictions you have, your previous jail mugshots, pay $19.99 to Intellius for access to your private records, etc.
But, baby, Umar ain't got no college degrees.
And what the fuck is she talking about? What it like? Oh, is she talking about Umar in that?
I don't know. Like, I think that's just in general. Like, but
the families of those people told him to fuck off. Garvey, yeah. And all them folks, yeah. they said that.
But I think that's like just sort of like talking shit, because there is like the joke that black women are really good at doing research to find things out about a man, but at the same time, like, that is a reality of why we need feminism, because men can be incredibly dangerous. So yeah, we do actually need people to research men in our lives, and there's nothing wrong with knowing things about people, particularly when they're celebrities. Like, damn.
Yeah, fucking, alright. She continues, after the Black Girl Goodfellas, aka Black Feminists, added the more gasoline to the fire, upset that their Guarl He's So Fine contender was married to a Becky with the good hair, and apparently saying some questionable things about gay men that they love more than themselves, white journalists had began to surf the hate wave, which gave them 100 times more credibility because of the reputations of these larger platforms, also because they are white platforms, and as you should know, white people are always more credible.
Can I just throw something in about the gay men? And this is one of those just like blatant honesty moments, is a lot of black women do prefer gay men, not because they're not misogynistic. A lot of gay men are hella misogynistic, but they're not gonna rape us. So
yeah, well, if they're out, less likely to. Yes. Closeted gay man might fucking rape you.
Right, yeah. So, you know, there's a reason that we hang out with gay dudes. Just saying.
And that's not even so, because, I mean, you know, a lot of these folks are, you know, kind of circle around the circles I'm in. I don't see that much. Like, I don't see black women interact, at least in social media. I don't know. I mean, maybe when they're hanging out in the city and they're like, yeah, you know, go get a fucking an adult beverage at the adult beverage place, and they hang out with the gay feller. I don't know.
Well, something that I've seen a lot in my circles is a lot of hetero women hang out at gay clubs with gay men, because it gives them an atmosphere where they can like drink and dance and have fun, but they don't have to worry about the sexual assault component of it because it's gay men.
Hmm. And so, out gay men.
Yes, out gay. Yeah, it's a gay club. Well, it's a gay club. Like, it's a very open atmosphere. But, and that's just something I've noticed in general, is that there's a lot of hetero women who do like to hang out with out gay men because of that. And a lot of these gay men are misogynistic, incredibly misogynistic sometimes, but there is a level of safety because it's assumed they're not going to sexually assault you in any way. So, you know, I think really that is a conversation to be had about, like, hey, we actually like men and we like hanging out with men, but this particular group is the safest group of men we could find while, you know, staying safe and not becoming victims of assault. So, yeah, we like gay dudes.
Hmm. Yeah, and then, I mean, and it's, I mean, they may not rape them, but they may rape each other. Like, they still, like, they're still like, in rape culture. Like, some of the, you know, like, when I first learned about, like, Prop 8, so then I started, like, clicking on more, like, stuff with gay folks talking online just to see what was going on. Because, and, you know, some folks may know this already. Some folks may have recently tuned into the program. Like, I was, like, by the definition of the word, actually ignorant. Like, when I heard about Prop 8, I was like, shit, I thought them niggas already could get married. Like, on a federal level, I thought that gay people could already, like, you know, get married and the whole business. I didn't even fucking know. So I actually just didn't know shit, you know? And so I found that out, and then I start interacting with some of the gay folks, and, like, some of the gay niggas are like, yeah, like, they're straight-up rape victims of other cis gay men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, I mean, just because it's a gay club, I mean, that woman might not get raped, but somebody's gonna get raped.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, that's toxic masculinity. That's just
And just anti-consent, man. Some people, you know, Fuck rapists, yo. So yeah, throw them off, fuck, shoot them in the face and throw them off the cliff too. Yeah. But it's not a hate crime. It's a hate rape crime. Wait, it's not a crime. It's just fuck that shit.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah, it's just a fuck that shit position. We have doorway beads. That's what's really important. All right, moving forward with this article. This woman keeps talking about stuff. Fee on Medium.com, F-E-E on Medium.com. She continues. More example articles. This particular article published via Ebony was the straw that broke the camel's back. The tone of his responses in this interview didn't sit too well with the Black Girl Goodfellas, aka Black Feminists. It went on to go viral and spun off via white media.
I don't understand why she keeps talking about us like we're fucking like the mafia and shit. Like we're not the fucking Sopranos over here.
We do watch Forget About It.
We're not actually the Sopranos over here. Like we're not the fucking Capone family. We do not run the outfit in Chicago. Like we did not found Las Vegas or Reno or Atlantic City. Like, you know, we're not fucking affiliated with the five families and the Gambinos. Like, what the fuck is this with all these mob ass references? And
well, also, that's because this writer lacks creativity. And you can tell one of the things that shows she lacks creativity, look at how long her disses are. Black Girl Goodfellas, too many syllables. Narrow your disses down. Yeah, it's not good. Like, her shit sounds corny. But she has more, so,
of course she has more to say. Why wouldn't she have more to say?
And if she just, she puts screenshots of more, article headlines. Let's get back to some more of her opinion. So user IboChild on Twitter, on August 25th, astutely notes that 72.4% of the votes were either in, 1 or 10 prior to the commercial release of the film, majority being clearly negative due to its now 5.4 to 10 rating system from 3,462 users. The film was just released 2 days ago on Friday, October 7th. It wasn't enough for both black women-oriented and white media platforms to have a field day with the propaganda pieces disguised as think pieces with rumors and a former court case. They decided to head over to the Internet Movie Database, quote, "Nuck if you buck," end quote, together with and plunge the ratings before the film's release.
Okay, but who cares on what the fucking rating is on IMDb? Who the fuck cares? People are gonna see a movie regardless, or not see a movie regardless.
Yeah, and here comes that word propaganda again. People only want to use the word propaganda when it's what they don't like. This piece that she did right here is propaganda against black feminism that is essentially pro-patriarchy. What I do is propaganda. You know, like, what you... I mean, you listening to this, you probably post in social media, and it probably leans toward your preferences of how the world ought to function. Mm-hmm. And that's propaganda.
And the biggest thing that I have to point out about this entire piece of shit is she's really hardcore blaming black feminism for ruining it. But it's like, all right, so black people are what, like 12, 13% of the population as a whole in America?
Then there's ones, then that's, so take a chunk, throw them in prison.
Right. Well, first of all, take half because they're men, right? Because this is black feminists, right? So it's, and the few minions, right?
Damn.
So 6% of the, maybe 7% of the population?
7% okay. Population, then throw a chunk of them in prison.
Throw a chunk of them in prison.
A huge chunk is, elderly and older, and they don't social media.
And younger, too young to be on social media caring about this. They're fucking talking about prom dresses and shit because they're like 16.
Yeah.
And not dealing with that. And then the ones who actually identify as feminists, because there's like the,
identify as feminists and these particular feminists.
Right.
Right, because there's black second wavers.
Yeah.
You know, there's black swerfs.
So it's like, how the fuck... So we started off with 6%, take away people in prison, people to... who are elder, who don't use social media, people too young for social media, people who don't identify as feminists, people who don't identify as modern-day feminists. So like 2% of the fucking population of this country trashed an entire fucking movie. 2%. We fucking magic as shit,
apparently. If that. Even 2% still sound... Even a actual full percent. Like, I think this would be a percentage of a percent. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about actual people who are, you know, security, social security card holding American citizens, mm-hmm. I think it's a fraction of a percent. Like, we're talking about 0.0000 something.
It probably is.
Yeah, because I mean, how many people are really like, their voices are like relatively big and they say, what, 75 people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what, like, yeah, that's like two school classrooms in a city public school.
Yeah.
Because that's how big the classrooms are.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, somehow we ruined it. Like, all fucking, you know, what, 5,000 of us.
Yeah.
Woo! Like, what the fuck, man?
Jesus Christ. So
there's just a level of annoyance about that, really, that we are... And I think that this goes back to the reason that black feminism exists, is because there's always this, like, black women are ruining the black family, and black women are fucking up the community. And it's like, how the fuck are we, as a minority group, within a minority group, within a minority group...
Yeah.
Fucking anything up. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the platforms. We don't have the publicity. We don't have the money. Like,
oh, considering how many black feminists like also cross over with Marxism and socialism and whatnot, if they really did have that power, capitalism would have ended by now. Basically, everything that we say we want on this program would have happened already, and we'd have nothing to podcast about.
Nigga, fuck capitalism. We would have fucking ended rape culture in black communities by now if black women had this kind of pull.
Yeah, if the black feminists were that powerful, yeah, right. It'd be fucking over. What are you, these motherfucking motherfuckers fucking with the fucking fuck? God damn it. What? That was highly articulate.
That, I guess, exemplifies the diversity of the word.
The motherfucking motherfuckers fucking with the fucking fuck, you goddamn right. So she continues. Petty, she continues. I am defending Nate Parker, question mark. Some will say yes, but I would say no. What I'm trying to convey here is the dangers of social media when you are black. Productive and visible in general, and how our communal general consensus is solely based upon likability. The moment you are disliked as a black person in the social media era, you're as good as dead. We tend to do everything in our power to tear down the most capable within our race. And when we cry and protest for justice because after the best, creative, and brightest have been condemned, mobbed against, or assassinated, we're left with the weakest links, a bunch of people who may have gotten a degree, but their real life skills are usually limited to writing gossip articles, shade-filled social media rants, holding aimless protests, and shea butter lip balm making. These are not real world skills, and none of these has ever or is ever going to push any culture forward. That was all one sentence.
First of all,
ma'am,
just wait until the apocalypse comes. You'll want that fucking lip balm.
Yeah. Now,
second of all, the entire idea that we're tearing people down, we're not tearing him down. We're critiquing him for being accused of rape and not being the slightest fucking bit apologetic for it. And the other thing, too, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he get fucking like $17 million from Fox for this movie? What, this nigga gonna go home and cry? Even if his career is over, he should be set for life. He got $17 million. We didn't tear down shit.
But then, well, also there's this. What she said right here. The best, creative, and brightest. How low is the bar for best, creative, and brightest to you if it's Nate motherfucking Parker? That's it. That's the best creative. Okay, best. Okay, let's just scratch it. We just covered Denzel Washington in a previous segment, so scratch off best. He's nowhere near shit of no goddamn best. Mm-hmm. And then creative. He didn't make up a new story. He just covered an old one with a hotep bend. And then brightest. He wasn't bright enough to think that maybe the rape case was gonna come back up. Nigga, you famous now. Mm-hmm. Course it is. What are you shitting me? And then brightest. he wasn't bright enough to realize that full enthusiastic consent matters as a college student.
And I heard that Oprah actually had tried to intercede with Nate Parker to do some damage control for him because she wanted this movie to succeed, and he told Oprah no.
He's bright.
He told Oprah no.
That's what I'm talking about, yo. If a nigga has a flat top, you can't take him that serious, man. He has a flat top, man. Yeah. Fuck that shit. All right. What the hell is going on? You know, I should check. Okay, no one on the phone lines. Folks are still posted up. Glorious Mess up in the joint. Guest Trey719. And we're still digging into this from Fee, F-E-E, on Medium.com. She is brilliant. She's a genius. And after we get with this, we'll go ahead and get to that Jim Hightower clip. But there's more. She continues. I wouldn't have wrote this article if I felt like we were in a place of Nate Parker. If I felt like we in place of Nate Parker, we'd have many other more able and other, you know what?
What the fuck is happening with this sentence?
She's an article writer.
I wouldn't have wrote this article if I felt like we, like, in place of Nate Parker, we'd have many others more able and other black directors, creatives, and makers getting the spotlight and recognition that we supported beyond tweets and articles. What the fuck?
All right, so that sentence happened. She continues and starts the next one in parentheses. Take Queen of Katwe's flop, for example. Despite all the social media love for Lupita Nyong'o or Solange's so-called number one album that sold 42,000 copies first week. That was a very masterful, by the way, while her sister Beyoncé Knowles went platinum the very first weekend of her release. The difference? Having the support of the great hype vehicle, aka the black community, versus having the support of the actual money train, aka white people.
Hold on, I have seen nothing but black people, feminist and not, praising Solange. Isn't Solange, right? Solange? I don't know.
Yeah.
Beyonce's sister, which I feel bad I'm referring to her as Beyonce's sister, but
yeah, that's how
people
you
have
it.
Been doing nothing but praising that entire album and talking about how it's revolutionary and creative and speaks to them, so I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
Ugh. I mean, she could have wrote an article about it. I mean, I wonder if she has a review of the album posted praising it. I'm sure she did that.
I just want to know why she hates on Shea Butter so hard when she sounds like she's one of the Shea Butter hoteps. Or no taps, as I like to call them.
Yeah, Cole Gamet, like, I'm fucking black, and I don't even know what the fuck shea butter is. It's just, it's lotion, right? It's just fucking lotion. It's just nigga lotion. She's just got up out of her chair to go get some of this nigga lotion. All right, continuing. We rarely support anything beyond lip service, and this is my number one issue. I honestly feel as though the people who rallied to boycott this film would have bootlegged it anyways, thus behooving me to ask, why the hell are we so mad to begin with? Pretentious outrage much? Side note, we are the lip service specialist. This is usually the main reason why we cannot progress forward about without white people. Lots of talk, but little to no massive action unless we can destroy someone or something.
Because, you know, Black Lives Matter is bullshit. They've never closed down an entire freeway. I feel like you should know that.
No.
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 Nigga.
Shea butter.
And as a recap, her main... What the... fuck is that?
That is 8 pounds of shea butter.
That's one of the blackest things anyone's ever said. What you mean? I got 8 pounds of this shit right here.
Because I use it in the soap.
It's nigga lotion, isn't it?
It's not really lotion. It's like a waxy, like it's thicker than lotion.
Shea is thicker than lotion. Now let's see, continuing, so this is her recap. Bullet one, I am not defending Nate Parker as a rapist, homophobe, just simply pointing out how destructive, petty, and pretentious fellow black women can be online. I've seen this happen plenty of times, but I'm using Nate Parker to prove my point because...
She's not defending him as a rapist and homophobe, but she picked him specifically, even though it happens all the time. You had to pick the rapist as your example for something that you've seen constantly happening online. And but she had to pick the rapist.
And just like how I always point out, like, we're not just talking about gay men. We're talking about out gay men. We're talking about the rapist that we know of. Mm. Right? Because out my face, I was about to say she could have picked Umar and then you just got homophobe. But that nigga probably got his rape on here and there. At the college where he got his PhD, probably was raping. Ah, shit. Okay. Continuing. She said, I'm just using Nate Parker to prove my point because this situation provides the most proof plus angles to do so. Bullet point 2.
Oh, so you lazy, and this was the easiest clickbait you could make.
She is not lazy. She produced a segment for Wine Cellar Media.
No, we produced a segment for Wine Cellar Media.
She wrote all the notes for us.
And we had to make this shit funny. Why are you trying to act like that shit's easy? This is bullshit, man. We had to make it funny.
We already are funny. You're already funny. You just don't know that because you've been socialized to doubt yourself, nigga. What? What? People can't see you looking at. We did like 3 videos and now we're just used to it. We always think everybody's looking and nobody can see us. We're in audio.
Shut the fuck up and use the shea butter, nigga. Shut up.
Bullet point 2. The fact it took white media to give the film the platform and promotion it initially... yawn. The promotion it initially gained is also a problem in itself, not to mention that he sold his rights away for just $17 million when we have many black millionaires, which shows me that as a race, we just might not make it anyways. Always having to beg or need white people. $17 million will produce another low-budget film at its finest, and it is not much in the grand scheme of things. Bullet point 3. The quick flip and switch, and the fact that people went to start digging into this man's life because he was girl fine.
Girl.
There's a W after the G.
Yeah, girl.
I don't know. I know that as a black person, she's making fun of black accent.
She is.
Yeah, but she all about fighting that white supremacy, though. All right, all in his mouth because he was girl fine. I don't know. I mean, nigga looks like if Jamie Foxx was a chipmunk like that. I don't know. Only to be disappointed and channel a tornado of ill will towards him because his wife wasn't black is another issue, especially since 6 out of 10 of them have white boyfriends or husbands.
Okay, first of all, I wrote seats on 6 out of 10. Like, I would like to see the research study that came from.
She wrote a really long piece, therefore she's a researcher.
Secondly, the thing about his wife being white is directly related to the movie because there's conversation, I haven't seen the movie yet, but allegedly from what I hear is that they use a very violent gang rape of a black woman as the catalyst to move him towards to being a revolutionary. And that's not something that actually happened. So while he is sitting home being nice to a white woman, he is putting up this really violent, aggressive gang rape of black women to make a plot point that didn't actually exist. And there's a conversation to be had around that.
Bullet point 4. The hypocrisy with shading the white woman he's married to, but caring so much about him raping one.
Isn't the whole point of this that we care he raped a white woman? Like, that's the whole point, right?
That he would rape at all, because, like, the white woman is his rape victim that we know of.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he was in that college for more years than that. And then he was in high school before that, and junior high or middle school before that. Mm-hmm. We have no idea how many black rape victims he has, because all rapists, or most, are serial rapists.
Huh, I thought we never said that here.
Hmm?
Huh? But, no, and I do think that that is a huge part of the conversation, too, is that black women freaked out about the idea of a black man being so bold as to rape a white woman, because if that's what he does to white women, just imagine what he's done to black women.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if you're comfortable enough and feel privileged enough that you think you can get away with not only raping, but in participating in a gang rape with multiple yeah. assailants of a white woman, like, I can only imagine what you've done to black women.
Yeah. Phew! Bullet point five. The fact that this media assassination didn't start with genuine concern for him being a rapist, but black women's typical infallible jealousy.
But
what the fuck is infallible jealousy?
But that's the thing, though. Nobody wants to date him and marry him because he's a fucking rapist. Like,
bullet point six. I like that. This is probably the last black revolutionary film that will ever go mainstream because now it has proven to not be profitable and worth the investment. Example, Danny Glover's Haitian Revolution film, he didn't get the proper funding for, and if he does, they'll probably find some dirt on him too. For those of us who do like action, we'll now be stuck with the black soap operas, movies and about swirling in other media that appeals to feminists.
So, black revolutionary film. Aren't they making a biopic about Tupac?
Oh, another one.
Yes, another one. And didn't Ava just make that thing about the 13th Amendment, that documentary?
Hey, whoa. Selma.
What?
Whoa.
What?
Hey. I don't know what you're talking about over here.
It's almost like we make revolutionary movies all the time.
And you can bet that within a half a decade, there's going to be one about that, about the prison strike.
Yeah, there's going to be one about the prison strike. There's going to be one about Black Lives Matter in 20 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hipster's going to make it.
There's going to be one about Colin Kaepernick, too.
He's going to be featured in the Black Lives Matter one. Like, they're going to have a part where, it's going to cut to a scene. Like, it's going to be the opening scene where they're introducing the characters, like, mm-hmm. in Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, like, the drunk white dad in the trailer is going to sit down. He's going to be like, what? He's nailing again? Oh, shit. I will never watch another one of these games as he sits in the chair to watch the game.
By the way, Kaepernick is starting on Sunday.
All right. Man, we should... Looking at how low the cable bill is, I don't know. If it's only like $30 more, I'll add cable so we can watch football.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can watch football. God damn. All right, we are fucking American.
Very, very American.
Going toward the end of her piece, this is Fee, F-E-E, on Medium.com. She said, it would be one thing if we destroyed to rebuild, but all we do is destroy, and social media amplifies this cycle, especially with black women. And two black women? We are petty, we are insecure, we are destructive, we have more social and political power than our male counterparts.
Because you know how many black women hold political office over black men. We have a black female president right now. I don't know if you knew that. Fuck. We have a black female Supreme Court justice. I don't know if you fucking knew that.
Well, how about this for the political power end? Nina Turner being down with Bernie Sanders totally helped.
Benjamin Dixon's gonna fix it.
Benjamin Dixon.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to his program in a while. And you know what it is? It's not that Benjamin Dixon is not pro Clinton. He's not a Democrat. He's to the left, but he has a nuance and a patience that annoys me. Like I do not have that patience that he has.
That's why I follow him on Twitter. There's not that much room for nuance in 140 characters.
Ah. So yeah, on his whole show, like, he spells things out a lot more, and I'm just like, man, come on, man, burn it down, Dixon. Burn it down, son.
But, you know, I've always felt that it's important to discuss the political power black women have, because we have a long vested history of being lawmakers and judges and Supreme Court justices and presidents and, you know, in the House of Representatives and all these other things constantly, all the time, because misogynoir does not actually exist. It's some shit we made up.
Well, and all of a sudden, a bunch of these fucking black Democrat niggas take Condoleezza Rice serious because she's not in favor of Trump. It's like, yeah, y'all niggas, you realize that y'all niggas were the reason why Condoleezza said skin folk aren't always your kinfolk. She was dissing you right there, but now you back with her again. Y'all niggas is clowns. Again, I don't like Mark-ass Busters, and Mark-ass Busters is gender fluid and race neutral, necka.
Also, I think it's important to discuss the social power of black women, because we have so much social power, we eliminated rape.
You're the one culture. Who said that Nate Parker should have went to Oprah. Because Oprah is a representation of all black women. Yeah, well,
I didn't make that nigga go to R. Kelly, did I? No, I did not.
I mean, hell, ma'am?
Huh.
Whoopi Goldberg had so much power, she made Ted Danson want to turn black. Fee continues on Medium.com, her closer, she's saying, and to black women, we are petty, we are insecure, we are destructive, we have more social and political power than our male counterparts than we'd like to acknowledge, and we need to use it better. And if you think that I'm being paranoid or just... trying to put my sisters down, end quote. Now they're mad that the guy that plays Luke Cage has a white wife. After a week of fascination and girl he fine. I want to see actual quotes of this girl he fine. Oh, damn.
Why is there more words?
And this is the actual end, and it goes to the comments section. She says, with that being said, black radical feminists are just a different breed, in my opinion.
So, you like how she waited to get into literally, like, the last three sentences to make a differentiation between black feminists and black radical feminists? This entire time, you've been saying black feminists. Now, all of a sudden, it's fucking black radical feminists?
I don't think she differentiated. I think she just upped the language on the same people. It's like how when I started analyzing the MRAs in 2012 and going into 2013, they would always say feminist, feminist. And then I noticed going into 2014, they would say feminist, and then they would either just say the word woman right after it or repeat the sentence with the word woman or women until it gets to a point where they cut out the word feminist and just say women do this.
Mm.
And I think that's what she did in this piece.
So she's just doubling down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so she's closing out. She says, with that being said, black radical feminists are just a different breed, in my opinion. They could really be doing some serious educating on black women's issues, literature, art, history, etc. But being cyberbullies, petty and nonsensical online instead. P.S. If it doesn't apply, let it fly. Fee.
Oh, Fee.
She says you can follow her on Twitter. You want to look at her tweets?
Oh,
she tweeting on the Twitter. She tweeting on the Twitter. Special claw. Oh, man.
Is that her face?
Yo, she got her African garb up in the game, son.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
I'm just going to, like, y'all wanted dark-skinned niggas and fuck light-skinned niggas, y'all can fucking have her. She ain't team light-skinned.
Ooh, shit, she has her own film project. A film by the Voices of Buffalo. All right. It's a trailer for her first film project. Oh, that's just a screenshot. All right, let's see. So something she retweeted. Okay, here's a tweet from her. Plus niggas barely read 1,000 word articles, so the fact that they think they can muster up the strength to read a 500 page book is beyond me. Nigga, we just read your little silly ass article.
I mean, it's interesting that she just complained black feminists are petty, but that was a petty ass post, my man.
And she continues. What do you see?
That one. Shit. Woo. this one right here.
She said, if you'd like me on a podcast, radio show, or anything further to dialogue, send inquiries to hello@inthe9house.com, subject media.
You want
to
bring her on the podcast?
Do you, if you want to, if I don't talk and you just interact with her.
Why?
I don't want to interact with her.
I don't want to interact with her either. It would be funny if you did, though.
What?
The fuck?
So you just want me to make you laugh?
Yes. Well, you're a minion. That's your job.
Oh, man. I am a minion. Damn, her whole thing is just fucking mad. She is so fucking mad and just... So really, and I think there's projectionism afoot, mm-hmm. right? Like the,
What's on her Facebook?
The Nate Parker girl so fine, that I think that's just in her head and she's putting that on everyone else. New week, new progress, sending all the love, prayers, and
healing. Nick, what the fuck? That is from October 10th. What? Ah. I'm expecting, like, every 20-minute updates. Come on, it's Facebook.
Solange has a number one album in America.
Didn't she talk shit about Solange and her?
No, she was saying that people aren't supporting it.
But how is it number one if we're not supporting it?
Look, I'm gonna like one of her posts, Hillary Lives Matter. I just liked her post, see? Oh, she got 493 shares on the Medium.
Yeah, because a bunch of black feminists shared it being mad.
Well, and probably a bunch of black men shared it being happy.
I think the word they use for that is pandering.
See here, this guy, his name is Freedom Mitchell. Of course, I have two mutuals with him. The tyranny of black feminism is rampant on Tumblr like a sickness, a virus. What'd someone else say? Well, it's like we're just reading comment sections and pretending that's a real podcast segment. Jeanette shared it and said, it's just sad. I personally felt he should have maintained a humble stance, yet real talk. Why you gotta be humble if you're innocent? It's just a sad, sad reality that as much as we say we want our story told, we quantify the teller that determines every whether they are valid. Okay, forget the way you type.
Something I do want to add in about that, too, though, is they're like, well, he should have been more humble, but at the same time, if he was innocent, why? Even if he was falsely accused, even if he didn't do it, the fact is that the person who came forward and said that they were assaulted was so distraught they ended up committing suicide. Even if they were lying on you, the fact that somebody was so... mentally upset and so distraught about a situation they committed suicide, you could at least show some fucking empathy for the fact they're dead. You know?
Yeah. And then they talk about, like, we want our stories told, but we want to quantify who tells it. Well, then that means you're gonna trust white people telling your story, which has kind of been a problem. So, nah, I don't want just anybody... black or white or whoever the fuck telling the damn story. Like, I want a credible source. Well, I mean, and part of that credibility is not a rapist.
Well, and even on a larger scale, aren't they doing something where Dre is suing because he's being portrayed as a woman beater, which he is in real life?
Dre is? He's suing Miss Chalet?
No, he's suing somebody who's making some sort of biopic movie thing. He's involved in it, and they mention that, and he's like, no, don't put that in.
Don't put that in? Nigga, you put it on the Eminem album?
That was different.
N.W.A. from Black and the Gray from choking a bitch to smacking her face from. Like, what, nigga?
Yeah, Dre has threatened to sue over a biopic that portrays him as beating his former fiance.
Nigga, you...
It's called Surviving Compton.
Isn't he like 50-something? Nigga, you old. Go sit on your money. But instead, you'd rather give it to lawyers. Now, that's petty. Alright? You want to talk about black feminists are petty? That's fucking petty. Like, that's petty punk-ass kid shit. Dre's acting like a little buster. Alright, dancing the program forward. We have spent a lot of time on that part. There's a little bit of more news, a little bit of more comment, a little more whatnot, what have you. When Phoenix Kalita is doing better, we will, actually, you know what? Holy fuck, yo, we are over 90 minutes and it's 2 a.m. All right, that is your podcast. Fucking, we will bring this shit back Friday. Matter of fact, I think I can do in the daytime Friday because fucking I'm home alone. So, yeah, bring it back Friday. We're well over 90 minutes here. So paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam and patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. That is your wine cellar.